from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
EW to his friends. Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Bob Ride with my actor's voice on, because I've been so busy in front of the camera. I can't keep this up. Hi, everybody, it's Postcard from Bob Ride with Eric Wiltshire. It's been snowing! It's lovely. It's been snowing. The mountains are nice and white. There was snow on the road this morning, and it's nice and crisp. And right now, it's beautiful blue skies. Genuinely beautiful blue skies. It's wonderful. I love life. Yes, we are a postcard from Poprad because I'm in the town of Poprad in the east of Slovakia, the beautiful east of Slovakia. And I'm just so radiant with what I've been doing. Sorry, I'm going back into thingy. I'm going to be an actor again. But before we start, it's Leegi Manx.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and everybody else. Yes, Eric has returned from a life of thespianism, and I am going on holiday.
What?
Pardon?
You're doing what? Did you just swear on the air?
I said holiday.
You've done it again?
That swear word, holiday, holiday, holiday. I'm going on holiday. You're not. Rachel Hotpants Brunson isn't. Nobody else is. Me with my wifey.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's nice. So you're not on holidays.
He's one of the other million that takes his laptop with him on holiday.
I'm not taking it. You can get lost. You can't get hold of me.
I'll phone you.
I'll flush my phone down the toilet.
That's right, you do that in the bath.
I'm going to Notting Hill.
Anyway, you can tell us about that in a minute. Down there, surviving the non-event of the century, it's Rachel Brunsdon.
The cyclone that cried wolf.
Yes.
came to naught. But the Bureau of Meteorology, who I have come to fondly call the Bureau of Noology, they are telling us now that this particular cyclone is headed back our way, although it's still classified as ex-tropical cyclone and is now just a tropical low. So, no, there was nothing, but there are storms over the weekend, and that'll be nice because we are in the midst of packing boxes in readiness to move house yet again.
Do you have to do this?
You move it into a box?
Well, actually, if we don't get one of the houses we applied for, we may well be living in
Rach, why don't you just pay your local taxes to the council and not have to worry about keeping moving all the time?
Well,
you're not exactly Thelma and Louise.
I'm not. I'm Thelma and Rachies. Thank you very much.
Rachies.
The problem is that the houses that we procure are corporate houses that Rob gets within a package with his jobs. Mm. Now, this particular house is with a package, a corporate package, and Rob doesn't work for this company anymore, so we have to leave. Oh, so I said, Rob, can we just get our own lease and not have anything to do with corporate packages, so that way if you get a new job, we don't have to move? And he said, sure.
Cool. Anyway, we've got to say hi to the guys at Talk Radio X Replay Radio with Breeze and you lovely people listening to us on Windows 8 because you're wonderful and there's lots of you doing that. Thank you very much indeed. Before we start on the show, because it is a sideways look at the news, I forgot something. Rach, tell us about this world record down in Brisbane.
Oh, it's actually not. It's in Canberra.
Is it Canberra? Sorry.
Our nation's capital. There's fantastic. David Richards is a lovely home owner in Canberra, and he has set the world records for the most LED lights for Christmas.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yes. 502,165 lights, to be precise. Now, when people
pass by, he should be put in an electric chair.
Well, all he has to do is stick a finger in the socket and he's well and truly fried. But He actually, he's every time somebody walks past there, they donate money. And he has thus far, in 2011, this particular light show raised around $77,000 for charitable causes. So I don't dare think what his electricity bill is or his carbon.
I can tell you that. I can tell you his electric bill. Do you want to know? £1,400 a month just for the lights.
And how many months does he have it going for?
I don't know.
Just December.
Just December. So it's costing £1,400 to earn £77,000 to give to charity.
That's good.
He's
then.
A good egg, actually. It shouldn't electrocute him.
No. But apparently, ever since he started doing this, some of his neighbours won't talk to him anymore.
I'm not surprised. Boy,
yes, because it's constantly daylight. it's like living in Alaska. But if you go to a website called digitaltrends.com, you can see pictures of his front yard, and it really is quite spectacular. So good on you. Good on you, David. We love your work, and keep on doing what you're doing. Raise money for charity. We
yes,
love
thing.
That.
Good thing. Let's move on. This is rather sad and poignant for me as well, because Lewis Collins, who played in The Professionals, has died at the age of 67 of cancer in his Los Angeles home, which is really sad because he was a nice bloke.
He was. He was a good egg.
He was a good egg, actually. I'm sure I can tell this story now, because is there a thingy of law in England, Lee, where you can't get nicked? If it goes
you
so,
can't,
if it's so,
you're
if
dead.
No. If it's so many years, are you exempt from being nicked?
For what?
For doing something naughty.
It depends what it was. If you've
you mean it's
there is no. There is no protection. No, there isn't.
Well, in which case,
there is no
in which case,
damage or limitation, no.
In which case, it wasn't me that fitted an AM CB radio in his car in the '70s. It was somebody else.
No, it wasn't you.
No, it wasn't me.
It was Lee G. Banks.
It was Lee G. Banks, yeah. It was Lee.
Yeah, it was Lee. Forget me, coppers. I did it. I gave him a CB radio of his thing. It was me.
In fact, the pair of them had CB radios fitted, allegedly, in their car in the 1970s by someone. I don't know who it was.
Shit, naughty. If we ever find out, policeman, we'll tell you.
Yeah, absolutely, we will tell you. But very nice.
You know, his initials are the...
But anyway, Marty Shaw was a real gent, lovely man, and
I just want to say. Oh, sorry, carry on. I thought you finished it.
No. He was one of those actors that was completely unprecocious when you spoke to him as on a one to one level.
He was putting his radio in for him.
No. I was outside the car, obviously. He was quite happy to talk about the television, but not in an anoraki way. He was very happy to talk about, you know, what went on in the plots and some of the stunts they did and things like that. But really, on a genuine one-to-one level, I'm not rich and famous, you're not a pleb. It was just nice.
So we got everything wrong, man. Because he was rich and famous. I was out in Los Angeles a few months ago, and I'm not showing off because I'm going on holiday again. But
Yes, you are.
And what a wonderful place. What struck me about this is that Martin Short, he made The Professionals and he made a couple of other things, like he was in the film Who Dares Wins. But his career never really took off after The Professionals, we have to be honest.
Well, no, CI5 was quite a big series. In fact, it's just been rerun on television again now.
But he didn't. What I'm saying is, he didn't change the world. He didn't rock the world over his grand acting ability and make dramatic films. But what he did do is, in his 60s, let's look at it this way. He was really good looking when he was young. Then by the end of when he was about 64, when some pictures came out of him, he looked like an old man. He got a beer belly. He was a bit frumpy and dressed badly. But the thing is, he lived in Los Angeles. He lived with his three sons and his wife in Los Angeles. And really, at 67, it's a tragedy. But at least this man had actually created something good out of the world for himself.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. got a weird message.
You got a what?
Oh, okay. I've just got a weird message from me.
From me?
No, I just got a Skype message from myself saying, installing software on your notebook for the drive. And I thought, eh? Then I suddenly realised Petra's back.
Oh.
She's being so Petra's become you now.
She's become me and being an IT person. Anyway, also dying this week was a gentleman who I confess not to know, but I'm sure my sister will because she was a Crossroads fan. Stan Stennett Lee.
Well, Stan Stennett wasn't really only to do with Crossroads, you know. He appeared in Coronation Street as well. But really what he was one of our last remaining silent film stars. He began his career in silent films and actually moved throughout. That's why I thought it was a nice
story.
Was
he kind of a bit actor then?
He was the son of the other Stanley, who's never gone, or the grandson of the famous silent movie star. And he just, once again, like Lewis Collins, he never set the world on fire. But for 60 years, he was always there, part of our lives, and carrying on this tradition of good old Ealing comedies and things like that.
Right.
He wasn't the world's greatest actor, but it's a sad loss when one of those sort of bastions of ancient theatre film suddenly shuffle off this mortal coil.
Okay. Well, now I'm about to have a rant.
You have a rant.
I am going to have a rant, because apparently Germany and France are joining the UK Prime Minister in calling for a crackdown on benefit tourism, as the Hungarian lot brand the UK the nasty country of Europe. Now, Hungary is just about 2 hours away from me.
Yeah.
So I'm taking my life in my hands here. You Eurocrats in Hungary are numpties. Total and utter numpties.
Say what you really think.
Yeah. And let me explain why, boys and girls.
Go on, man.
They are going to change the rules whereby you have to be in, I think, the UK for 3 months working before you can claim benefits. That's the nub of the whole thing. Let me explain what happens to you in Slovakia as an EU citizen. When you come here, you have to work for a minimum of 3 months before you can have state benefit.
Yeah.
So all they're doing is copying other European countries in the UK and balancing it all out, and yet somebody 2 hours away from me is going, you're nasty.
It's an interesting point, isn't it? I'm really fascinated, and I can say something about this afterwards.
Well, you're going to say it now, aren't you?
I thought Rachel was going to say something. I was being polite. I was being a gentleman and standing back, letting the lady to the fore.
Oh.
Well, all right, I'll say in Australia, you don't get benefits.
You don't?
You have to work for a certain amount of time, and if you earn a certain amount of money, you're not eligible.
Yeah. So this is not wrong?
It's not new.
No.
It happens over. What the point you're missing, because you live outside the country, the pair of you, is a very salient point, which isn't the point I was going to make. But this point is simple. We all have to wait for our benefits in the UK, whether we're Slovak, Polish, Hungarian, Chinese, American, German. We all have to wait. And if you don't do certain things that you have to do, like turning up on certain days to sign on, you lose your benefits. There is nothing new in this. This is a complete and utter whitewash of an affair which is a major problem for a country like ours. And that's what I would like to talk on.
Oh, well, you've said it now, haven't you?
No! I've not done the second bit.
Well, you have, really, because you're just saying that when somebody goes to a different EU country, they get different treatment over the indigenous population in that country.
Well, I don't think they do. I don't think they really do. Yeah, there are certain... No, they don't. They get treated exactly the same, basically. There are just certain anomalies in that. But what I want to say about this, which ties in with stories in the future of this programme, but is very salient to this point, is the cost of living in Britain is so horrendous that this so-called benefits tourism is a complete sham. People can't afford to live in the UK on benefits.
Why?
Mm.
Well, because it's too expensive.
Well, it's below the poverty line. I mean, what they pay you is below the poverty line.
Well, hang on, hang on. Now,
yes,
if it is that they're living below the poverty line, then the council have to find them somewhere else to live if they get chucked out their house, right?
It doesn't work that way, Eric.
What
does it work?
We paint a picture of it working that way. Mm. We don't. I have, for instance, a derelict house, right, which I've not got around to doing anything with, that it's sitting there. I actually had a Polish family a few months ago come to me and literally beg me to rent that house to them because they couldn't find anywhere to live. Mm-hmm. The cost of living is ludicrous. One reason I'm going down to London like Puss in Boots is to find out what the truth of this is about. We're going to that place they have the carnival, Notting Hill.
Notting Hill. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. The average price for a decent one bedroom flat in Notting Hill is is just over £2,000 a month, over £500 a week.
Well, I know in southwest London it is about £1,000 a month.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, in Darwin, because we're looking to rent at the moment, as I have just explained in great detail, and we're looking at for a house that would be adequate for just Robert and myself, we're looking at $750+ a week.
A week,
and you've got all the bills on top of that, aren't you?
Yeah, and Darwin is one of the most expensive places on the planet to live in, and it's certainly the most expensive place in Australia to live.
Crikey. Well, that's the point I was going to make, because the people who come over here on benefit tourism, supposedly, or taking our jobs, as it's described, all these Polish people coming on taking our jobs, the majority of them work for the minimum wage or actually for less. And if you work out to cover your average rent and living expenses in the UK, it would mean that on the average average wage, you would have to work for more than 140 hours a week to reach that amount. And you are over here basically because the standard of living in your own country is so poor that you can come over here, earn, look after yourself, have a life, and send money home to your family at home. That don't work anymore. People should be told that doesn't work in Britain anymore.
Well, no, I don't disagree with that. But the point is, if you're going to live and work in a country and like emigrate, as these families are doing, why are they sending money out of the country again? I don't get it.
Well, they're sending it home to the parents, aren't they, or to the rest of the family, which is a laudable thing to do, which is a good thing to do. It's your money, you earned it. Mm-hmm. There, at the back of us, not 2 miles from us, there is something called Caravan City. Mm-hmm. And it's a massive farm. I'm not going to name it, but I think what he does is horrendous. But, you know, it's a massive caravan estate, probably 500, 1,000 caravans on it. Mm-hmm. And the people live summer and winter in those caravans, and the ships around on tired old buses. And they work the fields as if it is medieval times for that caravan and a little bit of money to spend. They can't afford to do anything.
Ridiculous.
It is. And that's the way Britain is today.
Okay, moving along. Argentina doesn't want you anymore, dear boys. I would suggest to you leave and set up a UK firm. What are we talking about? Argentina has threatened oil firms seeking to operate off the Falkland Islands with 15-year jail terms. Go stick your head in an oven. Plus huge fines and confiscations of assets. So move your assets now, get them out of Argentina, and when they say to you, can I buy your oil and petrol, you go, no. Simple as that.
Stick it in your ear.
Yes.
There is a point to that. I understand what you're making. But the thing is, if we pulled out of Argentina as oil companies, the Argentinians would then have all the oil. And hence the fact we went to war on Argentina 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And everybody denied it was about oil. But of course it was about oil. You're quite right. The UK firms could come home and actually go and mine North Sea oil that everybody pretends doesn't exist anymore. But anybody with a bit of knowledge about the industry knows damn well it does exist.
But do you think that Argentina would survive without external oil, or can it survive period on its own production.
It's got corned beef. They could make corned beef fritters and have all sorts of things.
And corned beef and cabbage, as we know, is a nice source of fuel in methane. I mean, you know, saving again.
Well, all I was going to say was, if you're a British company in there, I can't believe it, 15-year jail term, rhubarb.
Can you imagine putting Mobil in jail for 15 years?
Never get away with it. And let's not forget, of course, that there was a constitutional vote by the islanders on the Falklands, and they said, we want to be British.
Yeah, and if we really wanted the ending, because if you think the Falklands War, I'm not going into the story, but I got the call to go out there as a journalist. Mm. And if you think how horrendous the Falklands War was for both sides, and all the real tragedies that took place, why don't we try and come to, finally, after all these decades, come to a deal with Argentina? Why don't we try and be grown up somehow?
Yeah, well, it's quite simple. They go away, leave it to us.
Yeah, exactly. Give us our country. It's our country. Get it? It is. It is. It's like Poland trying to take over Slovakia. You wouldn't be very pleased, would you?
No. I would tell them.
A bit of pole dancing and everything's fine.
Anyway, this is the numpty story of the week from Mr. Clegg. Hey, become a daddy, and you can have 50 weeks off. But your firm goes bust, paying all the bills. Mr. Nick Clegg, the Deputy Prime Minister, is announcing a thing whereby mummies and daddies can share the 50 weeks off after you've had a bambino, which means, of course, that the companies have now got to pay.
Yeah.
How ludicrous can you get in the middle?
What a terrible thing to say. What a sexist thing to say.
No, in the UK, it's very well known that the small companies make up the highest volume of trade. So what you're going to do is put the greatest pressure on the small companies to pay people to not be at work. And as one businessman said on the telly this morning, if that's the case and he takes the 50 weeks off or 48 weeks or something long, I don't really need that person, so he might as well just leave anyway.
I think there are all sorts of arguments like that which make absolute sense, but there is a simple principle at stake here, and it is to do with sexism, and that is that men get the rough end of the stick in anything to do with family life and to do with children. And
absolutely
to do with work.
A load of rubbish!
I'm gonna shoot you down
and slam you right now, Lee G. Banks. I'm gonna do it right now. In Australia, they have introduced paid maternal and paternal leave, so they're treating them equally. Our new Prime Minister, Mr. Tony Abbott, he has decided that if you earn more than $75,000 a year,
which isn't a lot,
you are entitled to get half of that. So if you earn less, you get much less. But he has made equal rights to paternal and maternal leave.
I feel completely and utterly non-shot down at all.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. Anyway, I think Mr. Clegg is a numpty. In the middle of a recession, he wants to slash small business. Stupid. Cigarettes will be sold in plain packets. Another U-turn by the coalition government in the UK. So from May 2015, if you've got an old ciggy packet and you like your cigarettes and you like your branding, don't throw them away anymore. Keep them nice and tidy. In fact, I've got a top tip for you. This is what you can do. If you go to a DIY shop and paint the packet with varnish, then cut the hingy bits. Yeah, and put a little metal hinge in there, a little tiny like the ones you have in bedrooms, those little brassy things. You can make yourself a nice cigarette packet that looks exactly what you're smoking.
And now for the grown-ups, Peter.
It's all a bit silly, really. We've had plain packaging here for a while, and there are two things that it has accomplished. Number one, it takes 20 minutes to get the packet of cigarettes that you were trying to buy because person behind counter is having trouble identifying which packet you want. And also, it has increased, and well, not only that, but it has revolting pictures of things that cause horrible diseases from smoking, i.e. A gangrenous foot is displayed on a packet of a mouldy old lung is also – I'll send you some pictures. But what it has also done is increased the sales of cigarette cases.
I can see that happening everywhere else.
Achieved absolutely nothing. Achieved nothing.
Right, okay.
I think there is an equality issue here as well, though.
Good Lord.
Well, there is, because
he's in one of those moods today, Rach. He's just being a lump.
It's a simple point. There is an equality. Cigarettes are a drug, and other drugs are sold to the public. Illicit drugs are sold in plain envelopes and packets, and cigarettes should be sold in exactly the same way. And the only thing this will serve to do is increase the underground market in tobacco.
Really?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. And
how'd you work that one out?
You used the word simple point, and I find that to be an oxymoron.
Yes.
Quietly.
No, you'd be rude to oxys. They're not all morons.
Look, I'm just really jealous that you're going to London, so ignore me.
Okay, then. Anyway, very quickly, a new world record has been made by somebody who had a foot-foot-tuk-tuk. In other words, it was foot-foot-foot-tuk. Bang, gone, stopped.
Are you allowed to say that on air?
I said foot. I was very precise. Apparently these two guys have been travelling around the world with this tuk-tuk. Did you ever ride in a tuk-tuk, Lee?
I have to tell this story, which will make Mr. whatever his name jealous and make Mrs. Otpants jealous. I actually arrived at Formula One in Delhi on a tuk-tuk.
There you go. And they do, they go tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk as they go down the road.
They're so funny. And do you know, in India, they can get up to 40 people into one tuk-tuk.
40?
I saw a film a little while ago, which I absolutely loved, a film called The Best Marigold Hotel.
Right.
Brilliant film.
I love it. I love that film. I've watched it 150 times. I want to be old and in India. And I saw them racing around in these tuk-tuks, and I feared for their lives. They go like a bat out of hell.
They do 34 miles an hour. That's 54 kilometres.
Any direction they want on the road, they follow no rules. And somehow, because of this incredible spirituality that is in India, they rarely crash.
I know. Well, anyway, it's got so bad that as they were going through South America, the thing died. So they've had to construct a sort of harness that they're wearing to drag this tuk-tuk on the last bit of its record-breaking tour of the world. But apparently, after 3 days of walking along the Andes, they found a mechanic. So in the middle of South America, they found an Andy Canic to fix the tuk-tuk. We'll be back in part two of Base Guard from Pop Brad. See you in a minute. Don't go away.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.